We're going to be doing the 28th Psalm, Le David. And it doesn't tell us when, where. It doesn't tell us anything details about it. But in my mind, there is something crucial about a person who has been persecuted. Now let me explain something to you. Shaul was not a simple man. He was a godly. He was a great man. He was our first king. He did great things for us. But like all great people, they're often surrounded by sycophants. And they're surrounded by people who may have impure motivations, because it's nice to be next to the seat of power. Mm-hmm. And they like to create and foment machloket. They do that. And they get all kinds of underlings that get pretty hot-headed in the process. And this is, as the words of Ecclesiastes, Mashahaya, Hu Shiyeh, En Chadash Tachat HaShemesh, what was, is what is, and what will be, and there's nothing new under the sun. It's all been the case all along. In his sense that he is surrounded by people who besmirched him, and many who believe the besmirching, David turns to the Ribono Shel Olam, because there's nobody else to go to. And what he does is he says, Elecha Hashem Ekra Tzuri Al Techerash Mimeni Pen Techeshem Mimeni V'Nimshalti Im Yordei Bo. Harav Meltzer, Feivel Meltzer, points out beautifully that the first five verses, which is why I divided it this way for you, are a prayer. Whereas the last verses, 6-9, are already a thanksgiving for a prayer answered. You will also notice that it is written in first person singular, except for the last two verses, which become plural. Because frankly, what happens to him is almost beside the point. It's what's going to happen to the nation as a result of all of this machloket, of all of this inner strife. Okay? This is the bigger concern that he has here. So you will also notice that there is a change in tenses. Elecha Hashem Ekra, I will call. I will call to you, God, but in fact I am calling you now. I'm calling you now, and I intend to continue to do so. Tzuri, and he calls him Tzuri. Tzur is sometimes translated as my rock. Okay. Because a tzur is a rock, but it is also comes from the word tzura, tzayar, a form, a former, a sculptor. And a sculptor uses a rock from which one is hewn. And since we are chelek elokam imal, a chip off the old block, God is my rock, not merely because of its strength, because of the notion that it's somebody that you can lean on and it is strong, but it's really because I was formed by you and I am part of you. Al techerash mimeni. Now I want to stop for a minute on the word al techerash. A chiresh is somebody who's deaf. Your translations will please probably say, Al techerash mimeni, don't be silent. Because you'll see the next one is, Pen techeshem mimeni, lest you remain silent from me. V'nimshalti im yordei bo, and should you both be deaf and mute, deaf and mute, in other words, you're not answering me, I will then be compared to those who dove down to the pit. Mm-hmm. I want to indicate the difference. This is not merely a play on the words. In fact, this entire mizmor is filled with puns. Techerash is somebody who is deaf. But in this case, it's making yourself deaf. Sfono says, like somebody who hears himself being insulted and acts as if he didn't hear it. There is a play here on the word techerash, which is deaf. Techeshe is mute. Rabbi Shimshon Refail here says, a cheresh cannot hear. A chasha refuses to respond. Don't act as if you didn't hear me. Because if you did, nimshalti im yordei bo. Your day ball is typically like those that are dead. They're put into the grave. Mm-hmm. Others say that those who go into the grave are those who go to hell. Sheol, your day ball. That their souls don't rise up. The body and the soul together go down. Rabbi Shimshon Refail Hirsch explains. He says, without a connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, there's no meaning to life. And a person who has no connection to the divine remains empty, and there's no real difference between him and the beast. And again, quoting from Ecclesiastes, Umotar ha'adam min ha'beima ayin. And the difference between man and beast is nothing. There is no difference. When is that the case? When there is no neshama that would survive. Mm-hmm. So it seems that the notion of hell is really not a place where you burn or you suffer. It's either you have olam haba or you don't. You're either immortal or you're just immortal. Nothing more than that. And you rot. What would happen in those cases would be a matter of whether or not you developed your soul. But one could, technically speaking, kill one's soul. And by killing one's soul, you and the beast are no real difference. To him, if God does not hear me, if he does not respond, if he doesn't accept my prayer and turns a deaf ear to me and puts a disconnect between me and him, I may as well be a dead beast. Because that's the only thing that is, makes my life worthwhile and assures me immortality. Shma kol tachanunai. Please listen to the sound, the voice of my pleading. Beshavi elav. When I pray to you, when I plead with you. Benosi adi. When I raise my hand. El dvil kotshecha. Typically, the word dvil refers to the place which is the Kodesh HaKodeshim, which was the Holy of Holies. And so when I just turn my hand to you, Rabbi Shimshon Refail Hirsch says, and by the way, Malbim agrees with this, he says, save me not only when I cry, but when I do nothing more than lift my hands. That gesture is a plea, like a poor person stretching out his hand to you.
Isn't it like a beggar puts out his hand?
Precisely, it's like a beggar. And he says, it's sufficient for me to put out my hand, but it also indicates helplessness and the kind of pain that can no longer be articulated. When somebody's in such trouble, he can't even cry out anymore. All he can do at best is stretch out the hand. That's sufficient. And therefore, it is helplessness. But Rabbi Shimshon Refail Hirsch also says that the raising of the hand is an oath. Yad al Keska, God, the hand of God is lifted up in a promise that he will not rest until he eradicates Amalek. This gesture is a gesture of an oath, a solemn oath. And therefore, he adds that there is a double entendre here. I'm not merely saying, listen to my pleas when I pray for you, when I do nothing more than just stretch out my hand to you, take me. But rather, when I lift my hand to you, making my pledge to you, and I pledge to what? To the Dvil Kodshecha. That's the place where the Aron Kodesh is. But it is concerned, it's considered to be parallel to the place on high, Yerushalayim Shel Mata, Yerushalayim Shel Mala, that gesture of stretching out your hand to the holy place up above. Al timshecheni im reshaim v'im poalei aven. Don't drag me. Don't put me in the same boat with reshoim, with those who do unjust things. Don't put me in the same boat. I'm not there. I don't want to be treated like them. I don't want to have the same fate like them, because somebody might say that what I've done is equivalent to what they do. Don't drag me, says Radak, to hell along with the Rishonim. Don't drag me as one would drag a net in the same thing. What is the issue? What makes them so horrible? Not because I'm perfect, but I differentiate myself. Dovrei shalom im re'ehem. They speak peace with their friends. Vira'a bilvavam. While there's evil in their hearts. Do you see the play on the word re'im, friends? Ra'a, evil. I told you that this is full of puns. They pretend. He says, I may not be perfect. I've done a lot of bad things. The one thing I'm not is a hypocrite. I don't speak peace while I am plotting your downfall. Ten lahem kepohalam. I beg you, God, give them as they would do. Mida keneged mida, measure
for measure.
For measure. What do I want you to give them? Give them as they actually did. That's poalam. And furthermore, kiroa malalehem, and give them according to the evil of their plots, of their schemes. Not sufficient about what they actually did. They didn't succeed in killing him, right? But give to them what they had plotted to do against me. And alila is a scheme, a plot, a libel, like the blood libel, alilat dam. Kemaseh yidehem ten lahem. Give it to them like their own hands. And in that sense, it sounds like repetition of what he said earlier. However, poal, says Malbim, is the beginning of an action. Maaseh is when it's actually completed. You can start the ball rolling, but not necessarily get it done. Give to them what they actually completed in doing, not merely what they had started doing. Hashev gmulam lahem. Give them their just reward, what they actually have coming to them. And so knowing that Malbim, everybody agrees, he's asking that God pay them back exactly for what they had planned to do. Ki lo yavinu el pe'ulot Hashem, for they don't understand God's works. Ve'el ma'aseh yadav, nor do they understand the completion of what his hands had done. Remember I told you, pe'ula is an act. Ma'aseh is its culmination. They don't understand. Yeah, same. They don't understand that God, who seems to be giving them some successes, is simply smoothing the road down to their downfall. They think that their initial success means that the Ribbono Shel'olam is on their side, when they don't understand that what Hashem is actually doing is he's letting them merrily on the way to hell. Yahalsem, he will destroy them. V'lo yivnem, and will not rebuild them. For many can fall, but stand up again. They will fall and not rise, and not be rebuilt. Please look again on the play of the words. Yavinu, understand. Yivneim, will rebuild them. You see, bone, bina. Bone to build, bina to comprehend. So this is a prayer, and it's a prayer, and it's also an angry prayer, isn't it? It's an asking for a comeuppance, a vindication for those who plotted against him. And Malbim explains that the Rebbe Shlomo's way is that sometimes it looks like things are going the direction of your enemies. They seem to have initial successes, not understanding that in the process, in their arrogance, they're actually paving the road to their own complete destruction. Now comes part two. Part two is the thankfulness. Baruch Hashem. Ki shama kol tachanunai. Baruch Hashem. He heard the sound of my pleading. Exactly the way it said in Pasuk. Bet. Shema kol tachanunai. Baruch Hashem. Hashem uzi umagani. The Rebbe Shalom is my strength. He is my shield. Bo batach libi. In him my heart trusted. Do you see the alliteration? Bo batach libi. Bi. Vene'ezarti. And I was helped. Vaya aloz libi. Ein. Ne'ezarti, ya'aloz, ein zayin. You see the play on it? And I was helped, so my heart leaps with joy. Umishiri, and from my song, from my poems, ahodeno, I will thank him, I will acknowledge him. I will acknowledge that it was not me, my doing, it was his doing. And in the same way, since I thank him for now having answered my prayer, which was in the first five verses, Hashem oz lamo, uma'oz yeshuot meshichohu. Who's saying this? Hashem oz lamo. Hashem is the strength to him. Whom? Ma'oz Yeshuot. A oz is strength. Ma'oz is a fortress. A fortress of salvation. Mishichohu, he is the anointed one. Who's saying this? I would argue that this is the chorus.
What? Chorus.
This is the chorus. David is singing this. He prayed. He added the section where he thanked God for answering his prayers. And doing this in public, what did they answer? The Rebbe Shlomo is taking his strength. And he is the fortress of all of our salvation. For why? Mishichohu. He, David, is his anointed one. You see, otherwise you wouldn't understand the tones of voice. Radak argues otherwise, no. You saved me. That's great. But it's not about me anymore. Hashem oz lamo. And lamo is to them, to the nation. Hashem is the strength of the nation. Hashem is the strength of those who help. And Ibn Ezra says, to those that helped David. Hashem oz la ozrim. Ma'oz la'ne'ezar, ve'ha'ne'ezar hu Mashiach Hashem, David. That's Ibn Ezra's words. Ibn Ezra, of course, who was himself a poet. Hashem is the strength to those who help. Oz ozrim. Ma'oz la'ne'ezar. He's a fortress to the one that was helped. Ve'ha'ne'ezar, and the one that was helped, is none other than the anointed one of God, who is David. about myself, talking about himself in third person. Metzudot says otherwise. He says, Hashem oz lamo. Hashem is the strength of this nation. And he's turning to them. But he's also the fortress of salvation to me. And he will continue to be so to whoever his anointed one is, meaning not only to himself, but to whoever ultimately will come, including up to the days of Mashiach. That's right. And therefore, no longer about him, comes the next section, which is in plural, Hoshia et Amecha. You all know this. Uvarech et Nachalatecha, Ur'em Venasem Ad Ha'olam. We always sing this, right? Hoshia et Amecha, save your nation. Bless Nachalatecha, bless your portion, this country, this land. Ur'em, from the language of Ro'eh, shepherd them. See the play, by the way, on the word, we've heard the word Re'im, Ra, Ro'eh, a shepherd. Venasem, and lift them up. Ad Ha'olam, until forever. Whether in my lifetime, says Adak, or not in my lifetime, beyond my time. This is not about me. May God be with you. And that's essentially a prayer now. He turns to the nation and says that. Ibn Ezra says, shepherd them, but lift them up to a high place where they cannot be harmed anymore. Forever ad ha'olam, on all the world, in this world and in the next world.